Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome. Welcome to this new episode. I'm really, really excited because this episode is in English, but we are locals. We are from Tijuana. I am here with Mariana, Nana in Tijuana. Thank you. Thank you for being here. I am really excited. I was telling you that I was studying your page.
Yeah.
And I think I clicked with this idea of showing our city and speaking about the good things about it. And I already spoiled, like I said, our city, but what are you from?
Of course, our city. I mean, spoiler. Yeah, I was born and raised here in Tijuana. And I totally agree. We were talking before starting the recording that Tijuana has so much to offer. And a lot of people are stuck with that idea in their mind that mm-hmm. Tijuana is not a safe place to visit. But once they're here, they discover that there's way more than they could have expected. So, yeah. So as a brief introduction of myself, my mm-hmm. name is Mariana, but my business page, all of my, what I'm doing right now is doing walking tours with the name of Nana in Tijuana. Mm-hmm. So that's at Nana in Tijuana in all my social media. And this is my everyday work. Telling people what it's like living in Tijuana, what it has been like growing up in one of the most dangerous cities. It was the ugliest cities in the world, which is not entirely true. And as a summary, my job is to speak good things about Tijuana every day.
That is so nice because sometimes I'm tired of just like watching TV and just, or news, local news, like speaking like horrible things about the city. And I don't know, Tijuana has so much to offer in so many ways for people from here, people who is not from here. I was telling you, like in this channel, we have interviewed or spoke with locals who consider like locals, but are not, they weren't born here.
Yeah.
So it's really nice to meet people like,
yeah,
Tijuanenses.
And I'm a first generation Tijuanense, and that's a very common thing for a lot of people in the city. We are a city made of immigrants. During this golden era of Tijuana, during the casinos, where they were popular here in the city, that was the first wave of immigrants arriving from all over the country. The rumor spread. You didn't need to move to the U.S. in order to earn U.S. dollars. You can just move to Tijuana. So That's why this really common, barely 100 years ago, people moving into the city. Again, that's why my dad moved with his family in the 1940s. He's old. I mean, I love you, Dad. But, I mean, he's 80. My parents ended up meeting here in the city, and none of them planned staying in here. However, life happened, Now they have the Tijuanenses in their family, which is really crazy. Half of my mom's family actually moved into Tijuana once they noticed how many opportunities there were in the border. So now half of my mom's family is split between Mexico City, Ciudad de Mexico, and Tijuana. So now all of my cousins were Tijuanenses, but our parents are not.
Ah, interesting. Both of your parents are from Mexico City?
No, my dad is from Guadalajara. So I have family in Guadalajara and I have family in Mexico City and now Tijuana.
And this is very common for a Tijuanense.
It is very common for a Tijuanense. Do you ever meet people that have 2, 3, 4, 5 generations? They were here from the very beginning and they're probably, I would not like to generalize, but they would probably be very wealthy. That's a very common thing to see. I have met people that, my grandparents are from Tijuana. Really? Yeah, actually, there's a colonia, a neighborhood named after them.
What?
Yeah, that's very interesting. I mean, you are the founders of the city. It makes sense. I mean, Tijuana is turning 135 years old this year on July 11. So we are one of the youngest but most interesting cities in all of Mexico. And a lot of people are diminishing that because of all of that is representing in the media about our city.
Yeah, because it's growing so fast that you cannot tell that it's so young.
Yeah. I mean, we're almost at 2 million, I would say. So there's a reason why almost 2 million people are deciding to stay in Tijuana.
Why do you think it's that?
I think there's something charming about the city. I mean, it's a city that has grown so fast, and people often say there wasn't a proper urban planning.
No, it's not. But
there is, actually. There was a map of how the city was supposed to look back when the city was founded in 1889. I booked my walking tour. No, kidding. But the city grew so fast because of all of those opportunities. Again, people were moving without anything. And a lot of people were invaders, which we still have a lot here in Tijuana. And we have to address everything that's happening in the city. It's not the same in other places in the world. Usually, the government develops a residential area and provides the services, and then the people move in. It's not the same here in Tijuana.
Yeah, no.
The people invade wherever they can find. They build their homes with whatever they can find. And then the government is obligated to provide everything. Pavement, garbage disposals, sewage, everything. So it has been the other way around. The government cannot keep up with all the people that are coming in and out of the city. So I think it's interesting about Tijuanenses because you will find a lot of people from here that arrive with those conditions, trying to live the border life, hashtag border life, try to improve their living conditions, trying to, of course, provide more for their families.
Yes.
And a lot of people started from the bottom. And now Tijuana, I think it's stuck in this development, which you can see that the city is so big that the people acknowledge, like most people stick to these golden areas, like Zona Rio, like Gacho, like downtown. But there's way more to Tijuana, and a lot of people have not experienced that. So that's also really interesting how or where the city is going to.
Yeah, now downtown or centro, now it's not downtown. It's not centro.
No, I would say
city.
No, I would say like around Insurgentes, like around Parque Morelos. I would say that would be more in the middle of all of the surrounding areas. But again, and this is talking for my privilege, you know. In previous workplaces, I used to work on that side, on the east side of Tijuana.
Okay.
And before that, I have never visited those parts in Tijuana. And now I know my way around. I'm really proud of myself. But it was not something I mean, nobody I knew lived around, like near El Boulevard 2000, which is really far, in my opinion. It's a long distance. But now I realize there's most of the population of Tijuana is not living in this area. They're living over that side of the city, which also is really interesting. Most people have never been to downtown because it's so far for them, and it's the other way around. A lot of people that are living their daily lives in here do not go that way.
Neither playas. I mean, that would be like too far.
You know, playas for me is also really far. I mean, actually, it's not that far. It's like 12 or 13 miles. I mean, if you're walking, it would be a long time.
Yeah.
But that's the beauty of it. Every neighborhood, or I would say even every delegación, like you know how the districts are assigned for voting, every delegación has a very specific identity. Like I'm from Otay. I love living in Otay. And Otay is this student area pretty much because of the university, the Autonomous University of California. There's a lot of public high schools, really important ones too.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, the industrial parks. We have the airport, the Otay Mesa border crossing with the U.S. I love living in Otay.
A lot of movement in Otay.
Yeah.
Right?
But I love living in Otay. And I think that people that live in Otay, I think we agree that Otay is the best place to live. But again, if you talk to people that live in La Presa or people that live in Hipódromo, people that live, I don't know, everywhere else, they would know.
Yeah.
We have better tacos. We have better places. It's because they haven't lived in Otay.
Well, talking about tacos, and I am going to say this in the camera, and I'm sorry if you have eaten others around Mexico, but I believe, and it's not that I'm from here, I do believe that in Tijuana, we do have the best tacos.
Yeah, I think it's very controversial. But yeah, I think we have to take a stand. No, and I do agree. I always say this, like, it's not that I'm from here, but we actually have great tacos. And again, like, I went vegetarian 4 years ago, and people often dismiss my recommendations, like, yeah, but you're not eating tacos anymore. Yeah, but the same taco place that I've been going all of my life that has been here over 40 years,
yeah,
they still have the same tacos, and I know they're going to be bomb. Not because I'm not eating them doesn't mean they're not great. Mm-hmm. But that's the beauty of it. Whenever I was trying to make recommendations, especially for tacos, because it's really complicated. Mm-hmm. Most people will often recall, like, oh, but the tacos outside of my grandma's house are the best. Yeah, dude, I'm not going to who knows where to just to try the tacos outside of your grandma's house. I mean, the tacos I have over here, I have carne asada, I have adobada, there's so many types of tacos, and it's hard to decide which one you want. But again, here in Tijuana, I think you can find very specific taco places for whatever type of taco you want
to try. Like, the area depends on the taco, so.
Yeah, and I have gone to taco places because the quesadillas are better, or the salsas they provide are fresher, or the tortillas are handmade. Again, having an experience around, it's a very religious experience, like eating tacos. And there's a lot of etiquette going around, too. But all at the same time, no. You can eat your tacos however you want and just enjoy whatever you like. I mean, that's the basic thing. But if you are in Tijuana, you will probably have really good tacos. I think that's the main thing. Uh-huh. Here in Tijuana, you have good tacos, period. You can have better places, like... to have better tacos, but you will not have a bad experience around tacos. I have never met anyone having a bad experience with a taco place. They're like, oh, the waiter was annoying, or the service was bad. But it's
related to
the taco
itself.
Yeah. I have never met anyone that, no, the tacos are never. It's weird to see people that don't like tacos. You will find a very experienced anywhere else.
True.
But tacos are good. That's it. Generally, every taco that you will try in Tijuana is going to be good.
Yeah, probably that's why I said, like, Tijuana has the best tacos.
Yeah, Tijuana has the best tacos. And talking about gastronomical tourism, mm-hmm. that's also very important to our state. Our state, Baja California, is relying heavily on tourism, medical, ecotourism, and gastronomical. Actually, all of the campaign that the Secretaría de Turismo, that the tourist department is providing right now, is around gastronomical experiences. They are traveling with the most recognized chefs from the area, from mm-hmm. Tijuana, well, from Baja California in general, and traveling abroad to London, to Washington, all around Latin America, to offer, to show people what
we
it's
have.
Like living in Baja California, which is amazing. We have a lot of options.
Yeah.
And to experience gastronomical tourism in a city like Tijuana, it's a great opportunity, you know, because we do have such a diverse cuisine. We have our own style of cuisine, actually, which is called Bajamed. It's the mix between Baja California ingredients and Mediterranean flavors because of the weather that we have. Also with an Asian taste because of all of the Asian immigrants that have settled here in the state. But we do have our own style. We do have our own type of tacos. Those are Tijuana-style tacos. I have gone to Mexico City, and tacos de birria estilo Tijuana. And I'm like, what? Those are not normal everywhere else? Like, birria?
I was teaching English, and this is a person from Monterrey, here in Mexico. And this girl said, here you guys, do you like a lot, like, birria is really popular. I do not eat that. And I was like, what? Is that a thing? Like, in Mexico? Is it like a Mexican thing? And she said, yes, I know it's a Mexican thing, but we don't eat that in Monterrey.
Yeah, it's more cabrito and more carnitas and chicharrón in Monterrey, I would say.
Yeah.
I again.
They don't get fish.
That's the beautiful thing. Of course, they don't have an ocean. That's the beautiful thing about Baja California. I think this Mediterranean weather, I think we have a desert, of course. But we are one of the top producers of red meat. And we also have deer and a rabbit. What else? A quail. I have seen a lot of...
Oh, my God.
Not so common. Animal products, but also we have the ocean next to it, and we have a diversity of fish and seashell, lobster,
everything.
So you can have, yeah, like last week I was hosting a tour for a couple from Sonora. Sonora is really known for amazing carne asada and tortillas, mm-hmm. and there's no denying that they are amazing at what they do.
I agree.
But they were like, yeah, the tacos, the carne asada tacos were not like amazing. And I was like, oh, if you come from Sonora, like, I mean, of course, if you come from Sonora and you're used to having amazing carne asada every day, all day, everywhere, I would then suggest to you to try the spicy shrimp, the crunchy octopus, maybe something fresh like aguachiles. Try the seafood then, and then you will find something that you probably haven't tried and you probably will enjoy. Because, of course, Sonora also has a bay like near San Carlos, mm-hmm. but the styles are very, very different.
Yes.
So I was like, yeah. Of course, you're not, try something different. There's more options. Don't judge too harshly, just depending on the one specific type of taco. There are plenty of tacos.
And where or when or how do you study all these things?
I think I've been preparing for this role my whole life. I always joke around with my friends that whenever we're eating out or going to a new bar, everything is research. We're just coming in here because it is research. So it's the perfect excuse to go out with some friends and try new places. But also living in Tijuana my whole life, you get to know your way around. You know where to go, what you like. Your friends recommend new places. If you visit a different neighborhood, you will find a different experience, especially if you go. I love going to Sobre Ruedas, which is like a street flea market. You find different experiences all across
and Tijuana. Also to eat,
of course, always to eat everywhere in Tijuana. That's
okay, great,
and of course, always to eat. So, I think preparing for this role, I'm really proud of Tijuanense. I think my parents always, taught me to be grateful for the city and for the hometown and for the family that we grew in here, that we created in here. So I've always been grateful of Tijuana. And actually, as a fun story, doing walking tours was it's not resentment, but it was because I was angry.
Okay.
When I started doing walking tours, started out way, way back. When I was a teenager, I was an athlete. So I used to travel all around Mexico and sometimes internationally. And whenever I mentioned I was from Tijuana, people would get offended with no reason. Now, like, have you ever been to Tijuana? No, but I've heard it. Then you don't know what you're talking about.
Wow.
In Tijuana, I have my house, my friends, my school, my pets. I have everything. So how are you talking about a place you have never visited? How are you speaking so bad about a place that you have never seen?
Mm-hmm.
So it started out as proving my friends wrong. I was really stubborn. So whenever my friends were visiting, I was like, I will take you to the best fish tacos. And then we'll go to the beach. And then maybe we'll do a hike around. And then we can go to the Cultural Center of Tijuana. Maybe go to a museum. And you will see what it's like living in Tijuana. So start out like that. And then it evolved into, hey, like, you know a lot about Tijuana. Like, can you recommend me some places so I can, take my coworkers that are visiting from Mexico City? Sure, I will help you with that. Hey, you know what? My long-distance boyfriend is coming for the first time and I don't know what to do. I'll give you a tour. It started out like a side job, like a hobby.
Okay.
And eventually it became my main activity. This is my full-time job right now. And again, it's just because I was really passionate about my
study. But how was the decision of doing as a side job and enjoying like sharing your culture and your city and just like quit your job to do it like fully?
Okay. It was the other way around, actually.
Okay.
I quit my job and I was struggling. I was having my late quarter life crisis. I was like, what am I doing with my life? I don't know if I want to go to work. If I'm going to get better work opportunities, maybe I shouldn't have quit. I don't know what I'm doing. So it was a year that I had to work a lot in myself. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't sure what I was going to do with my life. And fortunately, there were a group of friends from Germany that were living here in Tijuana for a few months. They were really, really random.
Tijuana.
So they came out here for a project for work, and they ended up living here for 3 or 4 months or something. So I would take them on random tours. Like today we're doing a taco tour, and I'm going to take you to 3 different taco places. And today we're going to a craft beer tour, and I'm going to take you to different local breweries. So they recommended me, like, hey, you are clearly very good at this. So why don't you give it a try? Maybe for a few days, maybe some weeks, a month at least, to see how it goes until you find something more stable. And I was like, yeah, you know what? Sure, I think I can do it. I mean, I think I can speak English. I think I have enough charisma to connect with people. So yeah, I'll give it a try. And a year, almost a half later, this is my main activity. And now I'm trying to get my trademark as Nana in Tijuana. I'm starting to be recognized as the tour guide you want to recommend, especially for locals, for San Diegans, which is lovely. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward into growing this business into my main activity. And it started out just because I love my hometown and people trusted me enough to share my experience with them. So yeah, I speak beautifully about Tijuana every day. And of course, I always address everything that's going around it. But my main job is to share the history of the city, to provide all of the fun facts, share my experiences, the good, the bad, the ugly about living in Tijuana. There's so much to see and to do. And even though I've been doing this, the same activity for all of these months, every day is very different. All of the people that have come here to connect. And I think a lot of people don't imagine the number of people that come in and out of the city. Like right now, I think I have more than 30 nationalities, different nationalities that have booked my tour.
Wow.
And a lot of people that are coming to San Diego and are curious to jump into Mexico.
Like, let's go just like
let's
one
see,
day.
Let's see what it's like. Yeah, one day trip, that's enough. Or people that come here for visas, like to the U.S. consulate here in Tijuana, or people that are moving because of the industrial parks that are settling in the city, people from all over the country, all over the world. And I have met people that I have never imagined before that would live here in Tijuana. And again, we are a very diverse city. We are, again, a city made of immigrants, and there's a lot of people from all over the place here in the city. That's, I think that's the most beautiful thing about Tijuana. We are still trying to figure out what we are, what we like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I think when I used to travel to the south of the country, people would ask me, what is it like something that it's from Tijuana? Like food or art or something from it. And I just couldn't answer because there isn't like one thing about Tijuana.
Yeah.
It's just like a mixture of just many different cultures from Mexico and around the world. Like, you just can't pick.
Yeah.
It's cool at the same time.
Yeah. I think there's like two sides of the coin. There's people that said, oh, Tijuanaenses don't have an identity.
Exactly.
Like, for example, and I am really, really amazed by how, for example, people from Sonora are really proud of the Yaquis. People from Culiacan are really proud from being from Sinaloa. And if every state has its own, I don't know the word, arraigo, like, you know, this belonging into the city.
Yeah.
And in Tijuana, there's a lot of people on this one side that say, like, yeah, Tijuana is lacking that. That we people do not feel like they're from Tijuana. Like, I've met people that say, oh, I'm from, I don't know, I'm from Puebla, but I've been in Tijuana for 50 years.
You were born
in Puebla, but you're pretty much a Tijuanense. Again, and I think it's very interesting that people are not relating into the city, even though they have made their entire lives in here. And the other side is that people like myself, and I'm going to include yourself, ourselves, that this is an opportunity. We are still trying to figure out what makes Tijuana, Tijuana. There's a lot of diversity. There's a lot of artists and athletes and musicians and business and business people and politicians. There's a lot of people trying to improve the city and to improve themselves.
Yeah.
I think that's beautiful. We are a mix of everything and we are not just one thing.
Exactly.
So yeah, I think that those are the two sides of the coin. Even we're nothing or we're everything at the same time.
Yes, I do love that about people from Tijuana or in Tijuana. Like, you studied something that is helpful for your brand. And also, I told you, like, we didn't study communication to be, like, doing this. But we are so passionate about what we do that we just find the way to do it and we just do it.
Yeah, it's the same thing with me. I didn't study tourism or anything related. I have a bachelor in international business. And I think I am applying some of that knowledge into this. What's the word? I always get it wrong. The words that I can never mention. Emprendimiento. Emprendimiento.
Start.
Subtitles here. mi emprendimiento. So I think I'm applying some of that knowledge, but I think it's mostly my own persona, you know, like that I'm fully immersing in here. It's like I'm passionate about it and I will figure out a way to do it. Oh, I have to do this and this and that, and I'm learning how to do it. But again, it's on the go. When I started doing this walking tours, again, as a recommendation, so like, yeah, I'm going to post the booking and see who comes. And then I started getting bookings, and I was like, oh, this is turning serious. So, okay, I'm going to organize
it. Oh, I have one. Oh, my God.
Yeah, especially like the first one, like the pilot, it was mostly my friends and family. And they were like, yay,
okay,
you're doing great. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And it was I know, but let me know, like, your feedback. I mean the first two times it was friends and family. So the first time I got a booking for total strangers, I was like, someone's trusting me, you know, without previous experience or reviews to be their tour guide.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, I need to do this amazing. Like, I have to be able to perform my best and to be able to pass on this passion for Tijuana and to pass on this confidence and safety to feel around the city. And right now, I think it has been working. Lately, this beginning of the 2024, more people are coming by recommendation, especially San Diegans. I think there's a lot of San Diegans, our neighbors.
Because you said, like, in the beginning, it was recommendations, but just like friends, showing my friends the city, and I guess it was in Spanish.
It was in English.
It was in English?
Yeah. I did notice that there was going to be, an opportunity to do it both in English and in Spanish, mostly in English, because there are other tour guides here in Tijuana that are providing similar experiences, some around craft beer or around tacos or around Lucha Libre or around, most of them are actually moving into the wine county, Valle de Guadalupe. Again, there's a lot of tourism in all of our state. There's a lot of tour agencies that provide hiking and camping trips too, whale watching. There's a lot to do. So I noticed that there isn't a lot of people providing historical walking tours in the
exactly.
city.
Yes.
There's a few, yes, of course. And there are some that are provided by the government, of course. Mm-hmm. But I noticed that there wasn't a lot. And I was like, I will give
or
it a try.
Or like the same people coming. I don't know if you have noticed. Probably you have. Like Asian people coming from like United States, just walking tours, like the same area. But I believe, or I think that like your experience or your walking tour, it's like different people. You can book like anywhere.
Yeah, I think right now I'm using Airbnb as the platform to offer my services. And it has been helpful because a lot of people, it's still the biggest lodging and booking for traveling outside of your city. So a lot of people, whenever they book a place, I appear as the first recommendation about things to do nearby, because I got really, really, I mean, not to brag, but I had really good reviews. So yeah, I often come like recommended like things to do in Tijuana, walking tour with a local guide.
Yes.
So it started like that, getting good reviews. Allows me to be like the first recommendation. And once they see what the experience is like on Airbnb experiences, how redundant, they get to see the description, how long it lasts, what are the days available, the prices, discounts, everything on the page. So most of the times they start, it started out like that. But now, as I mentioned, more people are recommending me. Like last year, I had a group from Chicago. And this year, I had a booking. And as soon as they booked, they're like, hey, my friend from Chicago, she met you last year. She recommended me. And I'm coming to Tijuana and to Ensenada to spend my summer with my family. I'm like,
wow.
I'm not going to cry. But but yeah, and now I'm seeing that like a year after, people are like, hey, somebody recommended you on Reddit. Or I thought you were sponsored ads on Instagram. Or somebody tagged you on Facebook. And I'm like, yeah, it's starting to work. You know, it's like planting seeds for a garden that you're starting to see like the little bloomings in spring. Yeah. And spring is coming. So I'm excited for that. But it has been a whole journey, like learning to be patient. And especially when you start a business.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that I have. I'm still learning, of course. And I'm being really patient with myself. I'm trying to experience more my city. I think I've always loved my city, but right now I'm trying to be more active in local shows and seeing local artists,
okay.
Free performances, going to the museum, seeing new exhibitions. I'm trying to keep updating my information, my knowledge, trying to see new history conferences. Yeah, it's, wow. Again, research. Everything is research. But again, it's in order to provide a more complete experience. Most of the people that book my walking tour are people that are looking for a companion to feel safe. And I get it. I understand. Most people think or have only the idea of what the media has represented for our hometown, yes. Which is not the best.
Or they believe like it should be like a tour by driving, or like a really like more formal and not walking, like they think, yeah. Walking is dangerous.
Yeah, so I think that's the tricky part. You know, people that are booking the walking tour are already very adventurous. You know, they're like, yeah, we're heading there, we're walking, yeah, don't worry. But it's all part of the experience of Tijuana. Of course, especially being a woman working by myself, meeting total strangers in downtown was not my parents and my friends' favorite idea for safety reasons. But if I'm trying to sell this idea that Tijuana is a safe destination, I have to be confident about it. And fortunately, nothing has ever happened to me. Of course, I'm always aware of my surroundings. I keep my location with my friends, my family. But again, if you want to sell the idea that Tijuana is a destination, you have to be the first one that is enjoying what Tijuana is like, mm-hmm. to try the new places, to travel around, to visit the new art exhibitions. I'm trying to be that person to sell my own idea. And I think that's one of the comments I get the most. Like, this experience feels authentic. Like, this is walking with a local girl that knows her way around, mm-hmm. that she knows what she's talking about, and maybe she has experienced this or that, but she's offering this point of view that I have never heard before.
Mm-hmm.
So I have the space to open up the city to the travelers that are coming into Tijuana.
And where do you usually go?
Okay, during the walking tours, we go to Zona Centro, which is downtown, uh-huh. and Zona Rio, which is the neighborhood next door.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Next door, next to it. it starts like that because this specific areas is where the city started to grow. Uh-huh. And people have asked me too, like, hey, why don't you provide walking tours in other parts of the city? And I'm like, yeah, probably in the future, that would be a great idea. You know, there's so much to see and to do all over Tijuana, but historically, the border, the city started to grow from here, from Avenida Revolucion. So this is where we can talk about the value of the buildings, like the historical value of the buildings, the history of the pasajes, the passages that were built during this golden era of Tijuana, the casinos, the prohibition of alcohol in the U.S., all of the knickknacks that you can find around from different vendors, street food. Downtown, it's pretty chaotic. I think that's beautiful. But it provides the best place to provide a walking tour and a more real, if you want to see, experience around the city. Of course, I always have to mention that this is not all of Tijuana. You have to move to other areas. Like if you go to the football stadium or to the baseball stadium or to the basketball stadium, those are really far one from another, and those are very, very different. So those are different neighborhoods. And again, if you're just planning to stay in Centro, that's not all of Tijuana.
It's just a simple.
No, again, I'm providing with the walking tour your entrance ticket, you know, like this is the way in to Tijuana. This is for you to feel safe, to learn how to move, how to speak if you want to practice your Spanish, especially downtown in Zona Rio is perfect to gain that confidence to open Tijuana to the travelers. I have found people that are coming back here without booking a tour. Like, hey, we came back and we went to the place you recommended, like in Dubai. I went to the tacos in Dubai. Like, oh my God, that's amazing. Thank you for venturing yourself into Tijuana. Yeah, you know, we're telling our friends and now we're coming over. Like, that's amazing. You know, I will not always be your tour guide, but I will always be open for help. You know, if you need more recommendations, if you want to come back, if you need, I don't know, whatever you need, just let me know. But again, I think right now I'm opening a door. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's my main role right here. When I started doing this walking tours, I was trying to share everything I could, you know, like you have to learn everything right now in 2 hours, which I noticed was not the best strategy because people can feel very overwhelmed with everything I want to say.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to take it more chill, just like a casual conversation.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Between cool friends, I'm showing you my city, and I try to make it as intimate and personalized that it can be so people feel at ease and feel confident and safe and feel at home. I think that's the key. So if they enjoy the walking tour, if they enjoy and they learn something, that's great. But whenever they decide to stay more time in Tijuana or to come back, I hit the ball out of the park, you know, like I've outdone myself and I'm doing something good for my city. So everything has lined up with this walking tours. I was trying to find something that would fill me emotionally, you know, like there's a lot of things I want to share. Of course, practicing my English is amazing too, and learning new skills and keep improving. Also, I am open to everything, you know, and also like, I don't know, everything that I wanted to do ended up being in this walking tour. When I was trying to look for new job opportunities, like I want to have more time for myself, and I want to be flexible when I'm doing, and I want to do something good for my city, and I want to do something eco-friendly or I don't know. And I didn't notice that the walking tours were going to become that.
Yeah.
And now, again, it's my job, but it's an activity that I really, really enjoy because, again, I'm really proud of being Tijuanense, and it's lovely to spend my days meeting people and walking outside and showing them everything that Tijuana is made of.
That's amazing. I just, like, I'm really grateful that you exist.
Yeah.
That you have this passion, because we have had conversations and we do what we can from our side, from our point of view, but sometimes we cannot do everything, you know? And it's great that people like you, like, cover other parts that we can't.
Yeah, and I think most people are doing their best, you know? As more people get involved into democracy or social service or everything that's going around in the city, the better place it will be. You know, Tijuana will be a better place to live in. And of course, the first thing you have to do is talk nice about our city. There's a lot of people that I know that, yeah, but Tijuana is very ugly. Yeah, and you have a job, you have a house, you have friends. You know, you sound kind of ungrateful for everything that the city has provided for you. Oh, yeah, but there's not a lot of things to do, like in Mexico City. Yeah, but you cannot compare Tijuana, which is barely 100 years old, to Mexico City, which is over 600. Yeah. It's the capital of the country.
And it's on the same size. I mean,
yeah, it's on the same size. So I think it's unfair. Of course, Tijuana is growing and we still need a long way to go in a lot of things. But again, as we continue to keep pushing, the city is going to be a better place for everyone. I think there's a lot of, working in this walking tour, I have met amazing people that are, again, as you mentioned, from their owned places, like from their own places, mm-hmm. they're trying to do the best they can. And everyone, like all of these small little efforts are going to be a huge impact for all of the city. But again, starts with talking nice about your city, buying local. Yeah, you know, trying the new cute coffee shop in the corner, or maybe go to a new festival that's happening during the weekend in downtown. Or maybe, and that's the thing, you have to get involved in what the city is offering. If you are from your house and you're not, Tijuana is ugly and has nothing to do. Yeah, but where are you going? Like, what are you doing? Yeah. Are you experiencing something new? Are you going to an art exhibition, to a new art gallery? Are you going to a underground disco rave? Are you going to, what are you doing to say yeah. that there's nothing to do in Tijuana? I mean, I don't know if people are expecting Adele or like every weekend in the stadium, the football stadium here. I mean, I don't know if that's going to happen, hopefully. But I think people are expecting like a lot of great things as Tijuana was like Mexico City or Monterrey or Guadalajara, which are the top three biggest cities in Mexico. But again, we have to keep supporting the small local artists and musicians.
I think we do have so much talent, but sometimes we don't know how to promote the art, artists, musicians. Probably it's just like we don't know how to sell our craft.
Yeah, sometimes. I think the my basic recommendation would be to start hanging out with locals. That's it. Like sometimes all they have to do is wander off, I don't know, like SEART, which is the Arts Institute here in the state, mm-hmm. IMAC, which is the municipal Institute for Arts and Culture in the city, and the government in general. They are offering a lot of public free activities. And a lot of people are missing out. Secult, the Cultural Center of Tijuana, every month they update the calendar of activities. Mm-hmm. They are offering a lot of free lectures and screenings and music recitals. And again, a lot of people are like, I've been there once.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like every weekend, there could be something different. You know, the government is offering a lot of free stuff. And the people are like, yeah, it's... Why would I do that? You know what? You can learn Mexican Sign Language in IMAC. You can, I don't know, enter a workshop on how to start like writing poems. I don't know. Maybe you can learn how to crochet, which is really popular. I don't know why right now. Or to do your own shampoo bars. I don't know. There's a lot of things that are being offered. And again, we are not using those tools. As the more we try to immerse ourselves in that scene, the better it would be, you know. Yeah. It will continue to grow. Mm-hmm. But again, you have to be willing. If you're just standing there, like, yeah, there's nothing to do. Yeah. Go. Yeah, look for something to do. You will find something that you will like. And again, I think we have to keep pushing. We have to keep supporting local businesses, local artists, local everyone, local Tijuanenses, mm-hmm. and people that have moved here, people that have been born here. We have to keep pushing Tijuana forward.
Yeah, I think last episode, it was a person from Scotland. And I don't know, that episode's supposed to be in English, but we did it in Spanish. But this person said that Tijuana, at least for him, it's something like... something magical, like you're just something Tijuana has something like you cannot expect, something uncertain, but anything can happen. And that's Tijuana, at least for him.
You know,
and I agree.
What I have found with people that have visited and people that have moved into Tijuana, I think the best thing we have is ourselves, the people. We have this never-ending chain of helping each other out. Again, because we're a city of immigrants, there's always this story of how my parents arrived and somebody else helped them, as the same way somebody else helped them. So we're continuing helping each other out. I have experienced how people here in Tijuana and in Baja in general, we are really outgoing and kind. We are trying to include everyone. For example, if you go out to a bar, if you are by yourself, somebody will try to, hey, want to join in? That's not a common thing in the rest of the country. Like in other cities, even though they're big cities, they are very close within their social groups. They are people that have things for a lot of generations, so they know who to talk to. They know the last names. They know the businesses. And here in Tijuana, you never know who's going to become the next new thing. So people in Tijuana, people in Baja are really welcoming. Yes. And I think most people don't pay attention to that, but that's that magic that happens, you know? Like, somebody was nice to me. Like, I didn't know I could make friends. People, we are the best quality of the city.
Yeah,
the
Tijuana is not the most beautiful city in the world, but people are beautiful.
Yeah, people in here, we are really hardworking, of course. I think, in general, people are trying... I mean, people that arrive to the border cities are trying to have better living conditions and are trying to, provide education for the family members or have a higher income. So I think people are willing to work and to be better in general here in Tijuana. And I think that's something that we can all share, you know,
and
everyone and learn. Of course, we are trying to be our first versions.
Yeah.
So I think we spread that around. There's someone that will help you out. There's someone that will look out for you. And again, that's not a very common thing in a lot of places. Mm-hmm. Tijuana, and maybe it's not the most beautiful city. We don't have a lot of public spaces like parks. We don't have amazing architectural structures that you see in other cities. We do have some of those, but we are not known because of the beauty of this, how the city was built. However, most people will tell you, you will have a good time in Tijuana because of the people,
because of the people and tacos
and beer and coffee and everything you have to offer to the world. But it mostly goes around very human experiences. But sharing with someone. That's also why I started doing these walking tours. And I was really stubborn. I was like, I will show you. I will let you know.
I will prove you wrong.
Yeah, because I really wanted people to have a good time in my city. You know, of course, you can go by yourself and you can, look, there's a building over there. Yeah, but I can tell you the story and what it means to us. Oh, there's another taco place. Oh, but I can tell you what type of taco is the best taco in that place. So it goes with... sharing my experiences here in Tijuana. But again, it's a very interesting job because there's so much to share and you have to decide the parts that you want to include.
Yeah. What do you enjoy the most? I know Tijuana is big, yes. If you recommend something, what do you enjoy the most about Tijuana?
I think, okay, first I'm going to answer.
Besides food, of course, we're going to.
Most Tijuanenses will tell you what, if you ask, like, what's there to do in Tijuana?
Yeah.
There's pretty much two answers. Go to a coffee shop or grab a beer. Okay. Most people will tell you that, and I love that, of course. Yes, we love that. But I think going to Tijuana, I think my favorite thing about the city is, I think that's hard. I really like...
Top five.
Okay. Top five. Okay. More options. Okay. I really like watching people. I think that it sounds creepy. Sounds really creepy, but it's not. I think just putting attention to how diverse the city is. Okay. Not like watching, stalking people, but actually just putting, just paying attention into how different we are one from another. And people, I love people looking at people like rushing to their taxis or driving and honking and getting crazy in the traffic. That I don't enjoy that a lot. But again, we are very different. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoy the people in general, the people, the experience around people. I would also say, again, as I'm trying to be more involved in the cultural activities, I'm enjoying more or learning more about how to appreciate art and music and theatric performances. So I'm learning to, again, to promote the talent that we already have. So I'm trying to also push that with my business, you know, sharing local activities and local performances and trying to make them grow. Of course, the food, that would be the third one, food. And again, since becoming a vegetarian, a lot of people have asked me, like, how can you be a vegetarian if you are living in Mexico? Are you crazy? Yes, I think I'm crazy.
It's kind of a little bit difficult, I guess, but it's not impossible.
It's actually not. You know, I went vegan for a few months, and I actually stick to a plant-based diet on an everyday basis. I stick to vegan places, and of course, I rely on making my own vegan meals. But I always say I'm a vegetarian because it's easier in Mexico. A lot of foods, for example, if you had flautas, you can make those with papa. If you're going to a taco place, most places will have a vegetarian option with nopales or beans or quesadillas.
I just take out
if you eat in the restaurant, you can ask for chilaquiles, just with cream and cheese. So being a vegetarian is really, really easy. And most dishes in Mexico rely on vegetarian options. So it's not that hard. But becoming a vegan, especially in most places that don't have vegan options, is tricky. So you have to learn your way. That's why I'm flexible calling myself vegetarian, because I will not starve. If I cannot find a vegan option, I will enjoy it. And that's a beautiful thing that I'm willing to. For example, last month, a friend from Saltillo stayed over my house, and he calls himself now native. I'm a local. I'm a Tijuanense. I love Tijuana like the palm of my hand. He has been coming. He has been returning to Tijuana for like 6 years. For what? For enjoying Tijuana. He's like, I'm staying with you, and then I'm staying with other friend, and then I'm staying over this place. But can we do something different? Yeah, of course. We can go to different bars, different coffees, different restaurants. We can go to Rosarito. We can go to Ensenada. We can go to Mexicali. And every day he comes, we'll be doing something different. And he's like, yeah, I love Tijuana. If I didn't work in Saltillo, I would live in Tijuana. Like, wow. I would have considered living in Tijuana. Like, yeah. And for me, it's really interesting. He told me, like, hey, but if I know you're a vegetarian now, but if you want to eat something, we can go. Like, you know what? I have no trouble. I will take you to the best tacos. And I know they also have quesadillas. Don't worry. Don't worry about me. I know you can enjoy. I'm not craving it. Of course, I will not eat that with you. But if you don't mind, I will order something else. Oh, I'm really grateful for you. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Of course. I want you to eat everything that you want here in Tijuana, not because I don't eat something. It means that you are not allowed to eat
But it's also else. A great option because a lot of people are becoming vegetarian or vegan nowadays. So I think it's a good option, especially for you as not in Tijuana, to offer different options. Like, you can go to a great taco place and then order something. Like, it's not that difficult.
No. And I think, again, it's part of the research that I continue doing. For myself and for the business, I always try to be aware of the necessities of the person or the group. Okay. From
you asked before?
Of course, yeah. I always provide, whenever I have a booking, I always introduce myself. I provide a travel guide with, you know, basic recommendations and tips and Q&As that I get often.
Okay.
And I always ask, like, is there something specifically you're looking for today? Like eating, drinking, I don't know. Whatever you want to do, you can just tell me. And I have met people like, yeah, I really want to go to Panam, which is a shoe shop. I want to go to Panam to buy tennis. Perfect. You know what? I really want to try a margarita. Perfect. I can also, like, I can make recommendations along the way. We can stop. We have different experiences. That's why the walking tour is very different every day.
We're going to visit, like, this place.
No, I think it's something that people have recommended me. Like, you should get allies. You know, you should get a partnership with a restaurant or a coffee, and then to provide an experience. And maybe, probably,
but not always.
I give recommendations, personalized recommendations. Mm-hmm. I like to meet the people. I like to connect. And I make recommendations along the way. That's why if you can get, like, I always like, if you can get really specific, I want something cold, something hot, like a soup, like a tamale, like a taco, like a drink, like salty or spicy, candy. Just the more specific it gets, I think the more accurate my recommendation will be. Yeah. But I would not like to force someone into trying something that probably, I don't know,
maybe they couldn't.
So I just make recommendations along the way. Some of the businesses that I visit, they recognize me, they say hi, whatever. But I'm always changing depending on the people.
Okay.
So I think that's also beautiful. I give opportunity to different businesses around. Yeah, it's different. For me, it's better right now because I can enjoy more places and show more places to different people. But yeah, and I always provide also a map of recommendations. I have already pointed out in a Google Maps feature all of my favorite restaurants and coffee shops and shopping malls and places to visit, vegan places too. So I have pointed out all of those places. So whenever people tell me like, hey, you know what, my wife's a vegetarian, but I'm not. Oh, okay, I can recommend you. I know this place offers both options. So I can recommend you this place so you can enjoy seafood, for example. I learned where to go because I'm a vegetarian. So, oh, you know what? I'm gluten-free. Oh, okay. You know what? I have friends that are gluten-free too, and I know where to go, where to buy your bakery, you know, if there's a place in here. So I have to know certain recommendations. But again, the research is every day, all day.
Every day. I can see that clearly. That is very specific. At least I didn't know that about you, like the touring that you offer. I didn't know it was so customized.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it. Like I have the basic structure, of course, goes around
visiting. Yeah, you need it sometimes, I guess.
No, I need it always. I mean, the basic structure is this walking tour is 2 to 2.5 hours. It's 1.5 or 3 kilometers.
Okay.
Along the way, there will be restrooms, there will be shops, there will be restaurants, and we can stop along the way. And I have all of my facts, you know, all of the historical facts that I double checked before lying to people. About the history of Tijuana, the dates, the names, the places. I do have that structure. But again, depending on the people, I can modify what I'm trying to provide. Sometimes, for example, if they are willing to talk more about history, then we can discuss more about that. But if they're not really interested about that, but they seem really curious about food, then we can talk more about food. Oh, but this is my first stop before road trip in La Baja. Oh, okay. Then I will give you more recommendations for when you go to Rosarito or to Ensenada, or if you ever go to Loreto, Santa Rosalia, or La Paz, because I've been there too. So it gives me a lot of, flexibility into what I do and what I offer. That's why I think a lot of people feel like it's very personalized, because again, I take my time into getting the people and trying to connect and trying to share at the same time all of the passion I have for my hometown. Mm-hmm. But again, it's the perfect opportunity to talk nice about my city, but also make you feel like a local.
And do you see yourself or your business, your touring in Baja?
I think I would love, I have been... I've been thinking about it, you know, and I would love to focus right now in Tijuana because Baja and Baja California in general, La Peninsula, are very popular, you know, like for La Baja Meal, for road trips, for whale watching, for a lot of activities. And I love Baja. I love my state. I love where we live. I feel really grateful for living in here. But I really want to focus on Tijuana because I don't think a lot of people are. I'm looking forward maybe into opening more walking tours, but maybe with different themes. Maybe, I don't know, a very specific taco walking tour, or a coffee walking tour, or a vegan walking tour, or something very specific so maybe I can reach more people. But right now that I'm like the ticket into entering Tijuana, it's working. You know, I'm trying to consolidate, to work this Nana in Tijuana and for it to become stronger.
Yeah.
in order to continue grow. But again, I would, for now, I would like to focus merely in Tijuana.
Okay.
You know, okay. Everything in here, you don't have to go. You, if you don't want
you
to,
have everything you need.
You have everything in here. Yeah. So I would like to do more for Tijuana. I don't know how, when, how, why, but yeah, Tijuana. I think Tijuana is the main focus. Yeah.
Okay. That's nice. I do have a question.
Yeah, sure.
Because I know English is not your native language. How, because I have to include this in this video.
Yeah.
How was for you learning English and like actually speaking the language?
Okay. I think I can get away, or I've been told I can get away with basic English conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't fully aware of it until recent years. When I was younger, growing up in the border, I remember my mom, my parents purchasing Disney films in English. And I didn't know that I was learning a new language. I remember watching Barney, the dinosaur, and Dragon Tales, and Clifford, the big red dog, and but also Canal Cinco, you know, like cartoons in Spanish. So I didn't know I was learning a new language. I was privileged enough to go to a private school, and the teachers, the English lessons were better. So I was learning English, and I was just learning. I didn't know it was going to be important. I was not aware of it.
Oh.
So when I got to university, I was like, yeah, I don't know.
This is not so difficult.
Yeah, so whenever I was in university, I had to take a year of English or English communication.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, what for? I know English. And then but this is business English. Oh, I needed this. So yeah, it's not the same thing talking and going to, I don't know, in and out and ordering a hamburger to actually speaking proper English. So I knew I could speak English, but I wasn't fully aware of how good it was until I started working. My first job opportunities pretty much came because I could speak English. Like, I remember my first job, I was selected to have a meeting with the CEO of Latin America for the company. Because I was the one that could speak English. And I was like, but I'm new. I don't know. I have never heard of this man before. What if I mess up? I don't know a lot about this company. Yeah, but
you're the only one who can
come. Like, you have the best English. And I was like, oh, okay. So it was weird, but I didn't question it. Uh-huh. Like, I was like following along. You know, yeah, okay, yeah, I'll do it. And in different job, in different positions that I had, it was like, oh, can you help me with translation? Oh, can you call this person in English? Can you do this interview in English? Can you go to a TV station and maybe record this advertisement in English? And I was like, okay, this is not on my job description, but I was doing it. And I was like, yeah, maybe something. I don't know if I should be bothered or, I don't know, proud of myself, but I didn't pay a lot of attention to it. Again, in traveling, that also helped a lot. When I was traveling for, when I was traveling for archery competitions, it was a great way to communicate with others. A lot of people speak English or Spanish, so it was easier to communicate. And yeah, English is still the most used language mm-hmm. internationally, so it did open a lot of opportunities to make new friends and to visit new places, to travel around. So I didn't know. I was like, oh, yeah, this is easy. I can communicate with others. And then I saw other teammates struggling. And I was like, do you need help with translation? I don't know. I can help you out. But I didn't know. Again, I was not fully aware. So when I was going to start doing this walking tours, again, the main language was going to be English. And I was like, I'm not a native speaker. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to mispronounce words, and I know my grammar is not the best, and I'm going to mess up. And people are not going to pick with me because I will not be able to communicate whatever I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
And as I started doing this walking tours, I always add it, even to this day. It's like, you know what, as an introduction myself, English is not my first language, but if you are willing to teach me something to correct me, please do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, don't feel shy. I'm trying to improve. I'm trying to be better. And people are like, What? No. You're doing great.
Yes.
Yeah, some of the reviews is like, she has amazing English. She has a Californian accent.
And you're like, yes.
And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, yes and no. And I'm really shy about it. But yeah, I think giving these walking tours, most of the times I have to speak in English. So I feel way more confident right now because I know.
The more you practice.
The more I practice. And even though people are nice enough, you know, like, can you rephrase what you said? For example, I learned this recently and I was talking with this with my sister. Sometimes I think my main mistake speaking English is that I literally translate whatever I'm thinking in Spanish, which is my native tongue. So, for example, I kept saying killing time. In Spanish, is hacer tiempo. In English, is not the same time. I was saying making time. I'm making time. Haciendo tiempo. Okay. And I learned it's killing time. It's not the same thing. But again, I think it goes around and I was someone to be like, oh, we're just making time. Making time? Can you rephrase that? Yeah, we're just waiting here for a few minutes. We're making time. Oh, you mean killing time? Oh, that makes more sense. But again, it's literally words, phrases you have to learn because it will not be the same thing if you translate.
And sometimes it's not something that you're taught in school.
It's just but that's interaction. Like, yeah, that's common language, you know, slangs, a more common conversation. Sometimes we are taught proper English and professional English, which is really, really useful. But sometimes you have to learn like the abbreviation. Sometimes you have to learn the like code words, English. The reference. Street English, of course. So again, it's part of continual learning. You have to be open into improving, which I'm up to. Like, you know, killing in time. I'm going to put that down. Makes more sense. So yeah, I'm trying to be more aware of how I'm talking, feel more confident about the way I communicate. And again, people are nice enough to tell me like, hey, I didn't understand. Perfect. I will tell you again. I will rephrase. I will speak slower if you need me to. And I know it's also the other way around. There are people that are coming to Tijuana, like the tour be in English, but can we practice Spanish?
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Like, now the other way around, how is there difficult it is for, like, people that are not from here being in the city without speaking Spanish?
Okay, I think if you stick to the touristy areas, there's a waiter, a hostess, a local shop, a coffee shop that has someone to speak English. So I think you will not struggle to move around. If not, now we have a lot of technology. You can just download the dictionary, an app, something that can help you with translations. But I think, especially again in these touristy areas, even some of the menus in the restaurants are in English. So it's easier to move. Most of the dentists, doctors, supermarkets are trying to incorporate because we are, well, a binational area. So it's neither here, neither
speak
there.
English, but we try.
And I think that's a great quality for Mexicans. Even if you don't speak the language, if you don't speak Criollo or English or French or whatever language you're speaking, Mexicans will try to communicate. Try. Like, hey, do you know what? I don't understand. I don't know how to say it, but that way.
Sign.
Yeah, so I think most Mexicans are willing to help you out. So if you are not a native Spanish speaker, that shouldn't be an issue around moving here in Tijuana. And if you are learning Spanish, this will be the perfect spot to learn it. There's a lot of, accents all around Mexico. And of course, I think we don't have a very bad one.
Okay.
I think a very bad one. We do have an accent. Of course, we are really strong in the way we speak. I know. But I think in Tijuana, we don't have a very thick accent. Okay. Like you see in other states that are more like you're singing or they're elonging the end of the sentences. I think, or at least that's my idea. I don't know if I'm Delulu, but I think in my mind, we have a very nice Spanish. Often people that come into my walking door is like, hey, do you know a teacher from Spanish? I would love to learn Spanish from Tijuana. Of course, I would look for someone up. But yeah, people are also willing to learn the language. I think a lot of people see Mexico as a great opportunity. And I agree. We have a lot of things to offer to the world. Mm-hmm. And if you're willing to venture sometimes, and now that you have you heard that how Latinos we are trendy right now, and I get it, like, it has to do with a lot of pop culture and music and the, whatever is happening, but people are paying attention to us right now. And now Spanish is a great option. And of course, it should be. I mean, speaking a second language will always open new doors for you. Mm-hmm. And whatever language you speak, even if it's a sign language or your native language or an indigenous language, it will be better for you. Like in your brain, has a lot of
benefits,
facts in your brain too, and health issues and yeah. social skills. There's a lot of benefits coming to speaking a new language, literally. It opens a lot of doors for you. So if you're willing to learn Spanish or to learn English, of course, Tijuana is a great opportunity to practice either of those.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. To finish this episode.
Yeah.
What would be, if you have to choose one, a really nice experience so far in Nana in Tijuana?
My best experience in Nana in Tijuana? I think my favorite experience, and I was talking about this in the morning, getting locals to be tourists in their own city is complicated. I have to convince them, like I have to work my way into convincing people into be locals in their own town because we're from here. Why would I get a walking tour? But people that are locals that have booked my walking tour, those are the tours that I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. Talking to other locals and sharing our experiences and getting their point of view. And especially my favorite tour was with a group of, most of them were senior women that met up in a folklore dancing group. The teacher organized a walking tour for them.
Wow.
And it was a beautiful experience because all of the history they have read on books, they lived it. So I was learning a lot from them and they were super nice. And actually today they are dancing as a group in a festival and they like, hey, we're dancing today if you wanna come watch.
Wow.
Yes. I like all of your tías and abuelita dancing. So it was really, really cute and sharing their experience again with locals in the walking tour, but especially that specific group. It was amazing to see how different generations have lived through the city and how the city keeps evolving.
Nice. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here, for your time, and also how people can find you.
Yeah, all of my social media is at Nana in Tijuana. Mostly, I use Instagram mostly. I also have a TikTok account. I email everything with arroba. I don't know what's happening, special effects or something. Yeah, everything is at Nana in Tijuana. My experience is called walking tour with a local guy on Airbnb, and everything is linked in on my social media. Yeah. In description below. No, yeah, everything is at Nana in Tijuana. Right. So that's the brand I'm trying to make. I'm trying to be a better citizen. I'm trying to share this passion that I have for Tijuana, for my hometown. And I would invite you to visit Tijuana to experience for yourself to see what it's like living in a border city like this. And of course, taking your time and eating a lot of tacos.
Great. Thank you. Then see you next episode. Bye.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.